Warning, the following program contains jokes that may get you contacted by the RCMP. Do not attempt any of these stunts at home. If dark humor mixed with current events hurts your feelings, then go fuck yourself. Viewer's detention is advised.
All right. What did you do? You dirty dog.
We need to be clear-eyed about the seriousness of these incidents. Indeed, several of the individuals at Coots have strong ties to a far-right extreme organization with leaders who are in Ottawa. We're talking about a group that is organized, agile, knowledgeable, and driven by an extremist ideology where might makes right.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Platt Army stream. This is an unscheduled stream, Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. And I just wanted to come on tonight. There's a couple of things that I saw happening on the internet that I wanted to talk about and bring up. So I'm here now. Cheers, everybody. It's a drinking stream. I don't remember the last time I had a beer. So I'll probably only be able to have one before I start getting slurry and sloppy and start flinging words out that I shouldn't be. Cheers, everybody. You guys shouldn't be drinking because it is a school night. But I can, because I don't go to school. Let all the jokes ensue. I hope everybody's having a good night. I know it's unexpected. I wasn't expecting to come on tonight. But like I said, there was a few videos that I saw that I felt like addressing. And no, one of them is not Rachel's. Somebody sent me a short clip of Rachel and her stream tonight, and she had the Hans filter on behind her. She had you know those Biden filters where people would have, like, you'd hold your phone and Biden would suddenly show up behind you and, like, sniff your neck? Well, that's what it looked like, what Hans was doing in her stream. Just fucking neck sniffing. Cheers, everybody. Yeah, you guys might get drunk Derek tonight. We'll see. I don't really get drunk on stream, but he's a fun guy. What can I say? We were also going to try and get Julio on the stream, but that's entirely up to him. His life has been uprooted enough. I don't want to make it any worse by bringing him on here. And yeah, entirely up to him. But wowee wow, has the country seemed like it's been turned upside down, right? Like, can you believe the amount of violence that's gone on in this country, whether it's perpetrated by Indians, Sikhs, Eritreans, and whoever? It's funny how Mark Carney, the only time he addresses it really is when it's Jews or the American consulate that gets shot up. So the American consulate gets shot up and everybody just loses their minds. You know, it's a direct attack on democracy. Democracy, my nuts. Democracy is a fraud. It's a fake. And the only reason people try and pretend to protect so-called democracy is because they're trying to protect their own power. But what does a democracy mean? That everybody gets a say, everybody has a voice, right? Well, let's think about that for a second. When democracy tries to get applied in this country, how does it turn out? The largest petition in Canadian history was just left on the floor, not looked at. The largest protest in Canadian history was squashed. When ballots are lost, enough ballots are lost that could sway the election another way, they just forget about it. Doesn't matter. It's over now. Even though this guy shouldn't be prime minister, we're just going to ignore all these ballots that were lost. The Canadian Security Intelligence Service has come out on national television and said every prime minister has been compromised since the Mulroney days. The state broadcaster even covers up the corruption that goes on in our institutions. So what fucking democracy are we talking about here? We don't live in a democracy. So, all that being said, when Rachel Gilmore gets an envelope from said government to harass, intimidate, and dox private citizens whose only crime is working out with their friends and having a difference of opinion than Rachel, having an opinion that Rachel doesn't like, what does that make her? That makes her colluding with an authoritarian state. She literally is everything she claims to be against. Wild, isn't it? Oh, that's another video I should probably bring up. Is the whole white dating site thing, which is incredible. I don't know where to find that video quickly. I don't know if I retweeted that one or what I did with it. It probably is on my Twitter feed. I thought that was crazy on its own. You're just going to make fun of the whites. Only the whites can't have in-group preferences. Why? Because they're right in the middle of ethnically cleansing all the whites. So why should they be able to reproduce, right? Why should they be able to find suitable mates? Yeah, here it is. There's going to be a few things on my Twitter, I imagine we'll look at. Shall we?
Nicknamed Tinder for Nazis. We analyzed membership data leaked by an anonymous hacker and found more than 500 Canadians, including profiles belonging to members of the Canadian military.
So there's 500 members. First of all, how come none of you guys told me about this dating site? This has been going on since 2017 and not one of you guys could have pointed me in the direction of this? You bastards. I feel betrayed.
Should we be concerned?
They are getting access to training, weapons, secure intelligence.
Okay, so White Date has been around.
This guy looks like he could actually use White Date.
Since 2017. And its terms of service says people with non-white genetics aren't allowed on the site. This isn't just about dating preferences.
No, that's exactly what it's about, dating preferences. There's J-Date, there's Sikhs-only dating, there's Muslim-only dating, there's Hindu-only dating, there's black dating sites, Chinese dating sites, Japanese dating sites, a whole multicultural fucking array of dating sites. But, damn it, CBC only fucking hates white people, so that's who they're going to do a special on.
Date is based around the idea that white people need to preserve a pure bloodline.
Nordic people are dying out, and within 200 years, there won't be a person left on this planet that we could call white.
Members are often open about their beliefs in their profiles.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at is obvious white supremacist symbology. When you look at the profiles,
the nerve of this fucking sex pest. Previous employees have come out, and allegedly, they have talked about Evan Balgor dropping things into people's drinks to loosen them up, loosen up their ambitions a little bit, inhibitions, and probably their ambitions.
There is a drop down where you can select what kind of ideology you hold, including a variety of white supremacist ideologies.
Now, that's funny because I have been on dating sites before, and in those preferences, it asks you what race you want to put up in your search, whether that be Asian, Caucasian, Groid, fucking whatever it is. Those are on Tinder. Those are on fucking, I don't know, what's the other one? Bumble and OK Cupid or Plenty of Fish. I always thought Plenty of Fish was kind of a cheap shot at sluts that smelt bad, but who knows?
Ideologies that are very blatant and very obvious.
Is it possible, even what, given what you said, that some of the people on it may not have known exactly what they're signing up for?
I would find it extremely difficult to believe.
An anonymous hacker leaked the site's user list and deleted its databases as part of a talk at a conference in Germany. The leak includes thousands of profiles, which we investigate using tools like Host Industries and DarkSide. And we find members of the Canadian military.
Oh my goodness. You mean this you found people from a majority white country on a white dating site? And they happen to be in the army? Oh. The horror! The horror of white people reproducing when we're trying to ethnically cleanse them. That's another thing, Rachel. I can't believe you're participating in the ethnic cleansing of Canadians. It's just disgusting. No, it's not ethnic cleansing. It's only ethnic cleansing when you guys try to preserve it.
Rogan Hale. We find he's a Navy reservist. We know it's him on white date.
Also, to the recruiters of Second Sons, please write down these names. We need to get a hold of these folks. There's a pretty good chance they won't be in the military anymore.
Because the leaked data shows he created his account in Esquimalt, BC. On LinkedIn, we see that Hale took a naval security team course in Esquimalt around the same time period. His social media history is pretty explicit. On his X account, he says, "Keep Canada white," shares swastikas, and says, "We should use bioweapons against Indians." We also find white date profiles for other military members. We don't have as much history for them, but we know they were on the site. Like this account from Ottawa with the username Jim. Searching the profile's email address brings up his LinkedIn, revealing his real name, Brandon Longpre. He's a corporal with the Governor General's Foot Guards. That's the senior reserve infantry regiment in Canada, based in Ottawa. Then there's this profile. It's pretty clear. It says, "I'm a communications engineering officer with the Royal Canadian Air Force." We link the profile to Tristan Armstrong. And get this. According to his Facebook, he now works on the Future Fighter Capability Project, Canada's effort to buy new warplanes.
Should we be concerned about these people being in the military?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever you have...
What kind of dog and pony show is this? Like, I'm going to ask you this question, and that's going to set it up so you're going to be able to answer this question. Should we be concerned about white people being in an army that mainly consists of white people? Fuck, this is a problem. We need nothing but Groids, fucking Pakis, Chinks, Spicks, and Niggers just to be on our fucking, in our military. That's going to make the most sense.
An extremist in the military, particularly a white supremacist, there is reason for concern. They are getting access to training, weapons, secure intelligence that is not meant to be shared.
That's what's so funny to me as well. It's like, You're so concerned about these white people committing violence, even though they have never committed violence in the past. Nobody's concerned about them stealing their cars. When Canada was majority white, we all left our doors unlocked, and it was much safer. And even Rachel was mentioning in her last stream, that was the clip that somebody sent me there, she's worried. She's going to carry around mace because she's got to protect herself from the people that she thinks is going to commit violence. What fucking violence? You were the one perpetrating the intelligence drops, or so-called intelligence drops, showing people where this is. And like Sean Beauvais McDonald and... I think her name is Blonde Bigot on Twitter. I don't know her real name. They both had their cars and houses vandalized. David Zegarak tried to kill people. Like, there's far more examples of people on your side, Rachel. I would be more worried about you stepping out of line with the left. Like, if you ever ever criticize a trans person or criticize a person of color, or you have a difference of opinion, it's your own people that will commit violence against you, not us.
With others, it is classified.
We reach out to all of them over email, but none of them respond. We also reach out to the military, oh, and it tells us it's investigating, because service members' online behavior is supposed to reflect the military's values and ethos.
When somebody is in the Canadian Armed Forces, they're held to a higher standard of conduct than a civilian would be. And
are they, though?
That extends not just in what they do, let's say, on base, but the views that they might express elsewhere in their lives.
We also found dating profiles for some notable Canadian white supremacists.
You know, this actually seems like a pretty bad plan, CBC. Let's think about this. You want to eject everybody that, let's be honest, it's not just white supremacists. You want to get rid of everybody that's white. You want to get everybody that's white out of the military. And what's that going to leave you with? First of all, it's going to leave you with the broken down military, but you're also going to leave a bunch of people that have been disenfranchised that are going to want to join some other organization. Now, what other organization could they be a part of in Canada? I can think of one. You know, maybe two. Second Sons being the first.
People we've previously covered. Like Lane Palmer, an organizer with the neo-Nazi conference Exiles of the Golden Age. And Sean Bouvier MacDonald, a leader in multiple Canadian white supremacist groups.
Multiple.
He openly calls himself a Nazi and praises Hitler. If you see anything you want us to investigate, reach out at vi@cbc.ca.
Let's go back there. I think you guys need to start reaching out here. I might reach out to these guys, see if they want to do a one-on-one. Maybe I need to be de-radicalized. Maybe I need to sign up to one of these programs and bring some glasses with a camera in it and just see what they do. See if I can sway any of them over to the radical side. Because there was one... This is one of my favorite things to do now. I'll bring this tweet up as well. Oh, it was just recent. I just did it last night when I was laying in bed. Yeah, the stream is going to be a little bit of me looking around. And, I should have that link. For the somebody mind dropping the link for Julio's fundraiser? We need to get that up higher. Needs more fundraising. It really does. Where did my tweet go? There it is. Can anybody else think of some examples like this? Because it's fun to bring up to normies. Young liberals, if you will, young white liberals, you bring this up to them saying, one of my favorite things to do, and you could do this too, is you tell them about this place that used to give out loans to newlyweds to buy a house and start a family, and they would knock off 25% for each kid that they had. And when their eyes light up and say, wow, where is such a magical place? And you just kind of slip it in like, oh, guess what? That was Nazi Germany that actually took care of their people. There we go. Sean dropped it in the link. Good to see you there, buds. And don't be scared to donate to my stream too, guys. I got to keep this boat afloat as well. There, we dropped it in the chat. And we'll drop it in entropy as well for Al Stern and Sarah. I would much actually rather see you donate to Julio than myself right now. He needs it more than what I do. Sorry, I'm just getting a few messages. I'll have to check those later. The one video that I wanted to watch was actually the brown fella here that was speaking in front of a committee. And now it's 24 minutes long. I get that, but we need to fill some time up here. And I'll just pause it periodically so that we can stop and critique everything that the guy is saying and go over it.
There we go. Appreciate it. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. As a kid growing up in Alberta, I wasn't like most of my friends. Every night, I watched The National with Knowlton Nash. He represented a public broadcaster that belonged to Canadians. Not to power, not to party, but to the public. And that is the CBC that I believed in. Now, many Canadians know the story about one of my tweets. In April 2024, I publicly stated that Canada Tonight had requested an interview with then-CBC President Catherine Tate, and the request was declined. Facts. Shortly after, I was removed from the air. Now, on May 7th, 2024, Tate told this very committee she was, quote, not aware of any repercussions. Yet 24 hours earlier, ATIP records show her vice president, Barb Williams, briefed her directly about my situation. And that matters because trust matters. The tweet was not the beginning. It was the breaking point. For months prior, tensions had been building, not over performance, but over control. While I was publicly held up as a bold, diverse host, my ability to lead the very program carrying my face and name was quietly being stripped away.
Now, I know what people are saying, are going to say in the chat. Like, we don't, if I had a white example, I'd be using him. But unfortunately, all we got right now is this guy telling the truth. So we're going to have to extract what we can from what he says. Justice for Fathers, thank you very much. He says, my mom's throwing 10 loonies your way, spread eagle. Oh, dear God. Well, it's too bad she can't join that the white dating site.
CBC's stated commitment to diversity contrasted with realities of tokenism. Still, I pushed forward, creating a nightly panel to show...
At least he knows he's a token, right? At least that's good.
...case real diversity, including of thought. I questioned unequal pay. Why, for example, one contributor who was Indigenous always needed to be paid, while others weren't. When a prominent Black journalist requested compensation after appearing doing the exact same job, I was told to reconsider booking him moving forward.
I mean, that's good. Don't pay the Blacks to be on your show, but make sure that the Natives are paid. That's what we need.
I attempted to end this discriminatory practice. Instead, the panel was canceled. When it came to politics, interviews were blocked under guardrails, governed by an internal document never made public, titled Parameters for Political Guests.
Make that document public, homie. Like, we want to see it. Do we have to ATIP this as well? Access to information?
Political access was centralized. Booking decisions controlled elsewhere. It did not happen once. It became a pattern. It became the standard. Power in Politics, hosted by David Cochrane, was given gatekeeping authority over which politicians could appear on Canada Tonight. When I questioned that control and who was in control, I was viewed as disruptive. Now, at the same time, I raised concerns about a toxic environment. After I sat down with Speaker Greg Fergus for a conversation on Black History Month, Chief Political Correspondent Rosemary Barton circulated internal communications questioning my program, copying senior leadership, insinuating she or Mr. Cochrane should have done the interview. It was an intimidation tactic, which management ignored. I and others raised concerns about bullying behavior by senior figures, including Mr. Cochrane. But while he remained on air, I faced discipline and marginalization. Now, the transcripts of these meetings show the issue was not about my journalism.
I know his voice is annoying. He sounds like a lispy fag. But trust me, when he gets into it, there is stuff in there that you are going to want to hear about the CBC. Because it's more than just apparent that they hate white people.
But about reputational risk to the corporation. I received a written warning carrying the threat of termination. I was placed under confidentiality restrictions that prevented me from correcting public and internal narratives. CBC silenced and intimidated me simply for trying to do my job and fulfill my public service role to Canadians. Now, this is not about left or right. It's not about one tweet or one career. It's about systemic control, tokenism, selective enforcement, and a toxic culture where intimidation went unchecked. When I refused to waive my rights under the Canadian Human Rights Act in a proposed confidentiality agreement right here, and gag order, essentially, my role was not renewed.
I see people in the chat wondering if he's a Groid or a Jeet. I think clergy is all-encompassing. Or BIPOC.
Union tasked with protecting my rights as an employee told me explicitly, quote, it's very much a normal thing that we use. After 25 years in journalism, my career ended. That dream I had as a kid of working at CBC shattered along with my...
What a stupid fucking dream.
...trust in it. Now, inside the newsroom, the message was unmistakable and did not need to be spoken. I raised concerns. I challenged centralized control and bias. I fought for real diversity and equal standards. I tried to do my job as a journalist. Within months, I was pulled off the air, disciplined, restricted from speaking, stripped of my primetime program, and eventually out altogether. Now, if you were still working there, would you feel safe raising similar concerns?
This guy is fucking primetime programming? I have never seen him before this, to be honest with you. So, your prime time isn't working.
This is how silence becomes culture. It's how whistleblowers are intimidated. Public institutions do not weaken from scrutiny. They weaken when they avoid it. The CBC that I believed in was strong enough to withstand accountability. If it is to endure as a public broadcaster worthy of Canadians' trust and over $1.4 billion of their money, it must be strong enough to withstand it again. Accountability is not destruction, it is survival. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for you for
There's so much more.
My first set of questions is going to go to Mr. Danrash. Mr. Danrash, I'm just curious, there was a document that you talked about in your opening remarks called Parameters for Political Guests. Would you be willing to table that with the committee?
I would.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now, I just want to get to the bottom of this. Can you talk a little bit about any pressure that you experienced at the CBC to shape stories in a particular fashion?
Sure, I can. But I do want to spend part of my time, because I am here speaking, and this is my story. But over the past several days, and even when this story initially came out, there have been other CBC employees, current and former, that have come forward to me that are afraid to speak out publicly. And they have sent me some statements. So I'd like to, if I can, read into the record some of what I have been getting from current and former employees. This is a current employee at the CBC. Sure. I've been with CBC for 10 years, and I have witnessed and experienced multiple incidents of the misuse of taxpayer dollars, racism, favoritism, nepotism, sexual harassment, and verbal abuse. And then she goes on to outline specific examples. This next individual was someone that you would all know if I said their name. They left the CBC after a 10-year career.
So if we would all know their name, we should be able to to identify who that person was. But please stay with me, guys. It does get better.
The end of their statement says, without exaggeration, I experienced toxicity every single day, and it was almost always from the same people. It was not subtle. It was not hidden. It was part of the daily reality of working there. She goes on to say that she was set to interview Catherine Tate on air. I introduced myself to her in the makeup room as the host. In front of others, she responded, I didn't know I'd be interviewed by somebody who looks like she is 14. That moment stayed with me. It was dismissive, inappropriate, and reflected a broader culture in which respect was not always equally extended to everyone. On Mr. Cochran, this is one of his former producers. His toxic behavior extended beyond editorial matters and was more often than not deeply hypocritical. While he publicly presented himself as a supporter of diversity, he actively undermined the contributions of colleagues who were minorities. This is somebody who left the industry and had to go to another country. After about a year of working there as an anchor, this is in Vancouver, I was suddenly removed from the anchor desk. I was told the decision was related to the color of my skin, that as a white person, I did not fit the diversity targets they were trying to meet. No concerns about my...
Hang on a sec. Let's hear that again.
That as a white person, I did not fit the diversity targets they were trying to meet.
What?
I was told the decision was related to the color of my skin, that as a white person, I did not fit the diversity targets they were trying to meet. No concerns about my performance had ever been raised. My concern was the system and the reasoning behind the decision. My frustration was never directed at the individual who stepped into the role. She was also said that she was forced to check a box if somebody of a diverse background appeared on the air. And she said that that was concerning to her. I believe it's important to include a broad range of voices and perspectives, but reducing interview subjects to a checkbox felt like an overly simplistic way of approaching something that deserves much more care and thought. And I can go on.
What are you guys talking about in the chat? This is not him. This is the person that worked there that was white. It's the brown guy reading what a white person is saying. Come on. Stick with me here.
There are a number of these stories, and it is shocking. These people have been traumatized. They are scared to come out. They are scared of the professors. There we go. Appreciate
Whoops.
It.
Oh,
the
fuck.
Morning after, I covered Parliament.
White people are traumatized. They're traumatized and scared of speaking out. Like I said, it is a long segment, I know, but there's a couple of little small gems in here that you want to hear.
Till, then I went back to Toronto. I was on Marketplace. I covered the Queen's funeral. And then I got my own show, which I thought, you know, I'd have some say in terms of how that show went. And on the intersection panel, this is a picture here of all the folks that we had on the panel. You know, we've got here one with Raheem Mohammed and Rachel Gilmore. I don't know if you can get two people very far apart on the ideological spectrum.
I don't think you know what ideological spectrum means if those are the two people that you're bringing up. But
is that Sheila Copps, Brian Lilly, and Faye Johnston, right? We were having the Canadian conversation, and this panel was canceled. And you also have issues of pay equity when it comes to all of these folks.
So okay, obviously your point here was to create a panel that was full of diversity, not just in skin color or ethnicity or religious background, perhaps, but you wanted diversity of thought.
Correct.
Were you given the journalistic freedom then to move forward and do that for the sake of the Canadian public?
No, I mean, the issue became with the panelists. We had a list of 43 people or 45 people that Power and Politics gave us that said, do not go near these people, right? And some of these folks were like reporters, like Robert Benzie. There's a story breaking at Queen's Park, and we're on at 7 o'clock. We should be able to call, you know, somebody who covers Queen's Park and talk to them. But there were these continued hurdles and roadblocks that were set up to really have a certain group of folks in Ottawa in control of who was allowed on programs. Particularly mine was a concern. And there were repeated episodes of conservatives being blocked. I mean, I have the G-chats right here. I said, in terms of getting folks on, that we need to have balance. It's not about just having a show with conservatives or just with liberals. But if Power and Politics is going to have liberal talking points on all the time, we should have balance as a network. And I said, we are in contravention of Section 11 of – I told Brody Fenlon this and also Andre Lau repeatedly. We are in contravention of the Broadcasting Act if we are not providing equitable time for all perspectives. So I don't want to flood the show with conservatives, but I do want to have balance. And there are – and this is all – I can talk to my legal team because some of this is
– And it goes so much further than this. I mean, it's not just diversity of thought where they're trying to control the narrative. by keeping conservatives off, because by keeping conservatives off their show, they're still framing it within, oh, it's only the conservatives that are being hard done by, nobody else. The only people being hard done by, the only victims, is this small window of conservatives. Nobody past that, nobody else around that, just this small conservative base of brown people.
Before the Human Rights Commission in terms of how this happened, but there were repeated attempts over and over and over again. At one point, I heard, okay, well, maybe you can have NDP folks on, but conservatives are a no. It should blow the Canadian public's mind that this was the stuff that was going on.
Yes, it should blow Canadians' mind that this is what's been going on. But even more so, CBC hates white people. That's why they're doxing white people. That's why they're doxing white dating sites and leaving all of the rest alone.
Madam Chair, Mr. Dunraj, I found your testimony quite fascinating. I was a journalist for myself for 30 years. I was also a national director of the Canadian Association of Journalists. Journalism is...
I always salute a guy that can tie a double Windsor.
Indeed changed. You noted that you used to sit down and watch Moulton Nash as the voice of, you know, a trusted voice. I also remember Lloyd Robertson as a kid watching him. Peter Kent, Stanley Burke. Ironically, Peter Kent stepped down in 1978 after criticizing political interference from the Liberal Prime Minister. So, the CBC does talk about being diverse, inclusive, fair, and balanced. Yet, one of the CBC's premier segments is something called At Issue, which features Toronto Star journalist Chantal Hebert, Athila Raj, and Globe and Mail journalist Andrew Coyne.
And Fart and Bart.
In what universe is this diverse, fair, or balanced as a news panel?
Well, I mean, the National makes their own decisions, I suppose, in terms of who they put on that panel. You know, and it's Rosie's panel, so Ms. Barton's panel. So I guess, you know, you're gonna have to talk to her about the editorial decisions. But you know, what I was attempting to do on this program was have that diversity of opinion. And you know, when they canceled the panel, I sent in a note to panelists asking for feedback, and I was disciplined for that. And I just want to talk about this NDA that I got, because it's important. Because I was raising concerns about editorial, and I was slapped with this NDA here, which is a practice that the CBC is using frequently, which was raised by Dave Seglund, and you guys all have the paper. Dunraj has considered whether he has a human rights complaint with respect to the issues in dispute, and by his signature below confirms that he does not. Further, he confirms that he seeks no right or remedy under the Canadian Human Rights Act as amended with respect to the issues in dispute, and any such claim is barred by this agreement. That should be shocking to every member on this committee. And I hope that other members on the committee take an interest in terms of the issues that I'm outlining here, because it is very important.
Yes, I know it's hard to listen to a faggot, but until the nuclear bomb goes off in Canada that's called Queeroshima, we're going to have to listen to a few.
We should not have a public institution silencing their own employees and having them waive their rights under the Canadian Human Rights Act. That should be shocking.
Getting back to the bigger issue of the fairness and balance in news, you mentioned at one point that CBC management actually prevented you from interviewing conservative leader Pierre Poilievre on your show. Can you describe what happened there?
Yeah, well, I basically wasn't allowed to pick up the phone and talk to conservatives. I have some G-chats here, which I just want to, you know, read you part of this. I'm talking to my senior producer. I'm saying, okay, you know, this is an editorial discussion. Can we get a conservative perspective on this is essentially what I'm saying. It is a no to the conservatives, I'm told. We can't chase anyone from the entire party. The chase is with PNP. So if Power and Politics is not able to secure a conservative or, you know, somebody that presents an alternate perspective, then we are not allowed to. I'm told at one point, we're sure that there's a myriad of other types of interesting guests that you can chase outside of the conservatives. Can I be included on conversations with power and politics? That's not how we work. I say to management, by playing petty office politics, we feed into conservative narratives that we have a bias against them. Canada Tonight is a melting pot of news of the day, and politics and decisions from it largely impact Canadians. So we need flexibility to respond to emerging stories. So yes, I wasn't even allowed to pick up the phone and call to request Pierre Poilievre. Look at what happened.
Yeah, that you're right. You guys are right in the chat. Maybe Queeroshima already happened in Canada. The Queeroshima bomb went off in the 70s with Pierre Elliott Trudeau when he legalized butt sex.
When I had Melissa Lantzman on my show, right? I was threatened to be pulled off the air, which CBC then said in a news statement they didn't threaten to do that. There are recordings of them trying to do this.
Why do you think they were doing that?
I mean, there's an effort to essentially protect those in Ottawa in terms of their perspectives on these things, in terms of who they want on the show. It should be about, you know, we did an interview with Karen Johnson, my co-host on the new podcast I'm doing. It is out right now. She's another former CBC employee that is talking about the toxic culture. She said that she alleges that she was called a brown Barbie, a bimbo, but she says that it's a very high school culture. And these are things that this is fine. If you have host doing that, it's not fine, but it okay, but management, you are responsible for dealing with it. And so if management is not going to do anything, if the president of the CBC is going to come here and expect a tongue lashing and then be able to go back to the CBC and continue to get funding without accountability, these practices will continue. So shame is clearly not enough to get the CBC to a place where they will hold themselves accountable. So it's incumbent upon this committee to do that.
Mr. Downage, I'm just curious, in your other remarks, or your previous remarks, I should say, sorry.
Thank you, Grey Roots. He says his wiki is Indo-Caribbean, family from Trinidad. Looks like he married a white woman. Good. So his grandkids might be able to be Canadian at some point.
You mentioned that there was a blacklist of, I think you said, 45 people who were not permitted to appear on the CBC, and that this list came down from management. Would you be willing to table that list with the committee today? Thank you. Mr. Downage, I'm curious, during your time, or do you have knowledge of the PMO, the Prime Minister's office, ever talking to the CBC with regard to how a news angle should be covered or taken, or content that should be reported on?
I know concerns were raised.
Yeah, I don't think he married a white woman. There's too much of a gay lisp there. No, he married a white man.
From people that were on Power and Politics, I have documentation related to those concerns being raised. And I know that the folks that raised these concerns, they're fearful of, you know, exactly the same thing that all these other folks are fearful of, right? Professional reprisal. But I also know that this was raised repeatedly. And whether or not there was influence from the former Prime Minister's office in terms of editorial decisions that were being made on Power and Politics or not, even the allegation of that on its face needs to be investigated. And from my understanding, and CBC can put out a statement correcting me if I'm wrong on this, I don't think that there was ever an investigation. That is a serious concern, right? I mean, if there are repeated, you know, allegations made about perhaps there's too much influence here. Now, let me just say this as well. I was a reporter in Ottawa. I've been at Queen's Park. I was the Queen's Park bureau chief.
Queen's Park.
Reporters have sources. We all know that. But there's a line where that leads into editorial decision-making, and you have to make sure that that is clear. And if there's even an allegation that that may have been crossed, you have to look deeper.
I guess to that end, then, We know that public trust...
Well, I think that's enough of that shite. Yeah, and I'm under no disillusion that this guy is supposed to be on our side or something like that. Like, if he still had his job, he would be perfectly okay with what's been going on in the CBC, and he wouldn't be speaking out. Right? So... Yeah, Kuroshima was the bomb that went off in Canada, and Nagasaki has nothing to do with black people getting blowjobs. There's another video I did want to bring up, though. I think I shared this on my Telegram recently. It was a guy that was covering Rachel Gilmore's most recent breakdown, and he did a pretty good a really good job of it, actually. I don't know if he's one of our guys or if he agrees with us or anything like that. His YouTube channel is Society Unveiled. We'll bring that up. And he did a pretty good job of the breakdown, actually, so I thought I would share it with you guys.
Rachel Gilmore is a left-wing Canadian podcaster masquerading as a journalist.
Is what I do journalism?
Yes. At least, I think so. I have a journalism degree.
Who recently wound up in a self-inflicted drama with pro-nationalist group Second Sons Canada.
I think the reality of everything that happened this week kind of just came crashing down on me. Having two neo-Nazis show up in person to try to intimidate me for my journalism.
Welcome to Society Unveiled, where unmasking the left is my life's mission. Now, people can have their opinions about Second Son's beliefs. It's not a group for everyone, and I'm not here to change your mind. Today, I want to focus on Rachel's desperate attention-seeking behavior, which led to a Canadian Olympic gold medalist being doxxed, which ultimately led to his employer terminating him.
It all started for me with a tip from a government source, tucked away in an envelope that was literally slid across a table. With the help of my friend Elizabeth Simons from the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, managed to unmask the identity of one of the men blurred in these photos.
Again, I have to reiterate that it's so funny to me that she pretends to be against fascism when she's openly working with the government that has squashed protests, petitions, cheated on elections, and... she's now doxing citizens. And you're working with that government, Rachel?
He's an Olympian and a now former coach at this gym. Giulio Zardo, an Olympian, a former boxing coach, and a member of a fascist fight club.
An absolute fucking stud.
Before I begin, hit the like button and subscribe to my channel to help me get recommended to others. Rachel Gilmore has been reporting about the rise of far-right extremism in Canada for a few years now, but her main area of focus are the groups that she claims are radicalizing young people.
And they actually have, like, a website for this that literally gives away the whole game when it says, quote, "Our birthright has been stolen from us as we are being pushed out of society, academics, and the workforce and replaced by foreigners without any roots or connection to the Canadian people."
Her main target is Jeremy McKenzie, who founded the groups Diagonalon and Second Sons Canada.
I mean, just look at this video from the leader of the extremist group who went after me 2 days ago.
Want to be left alone, you guys. I just want my privacy and be left alone. You guys think my looks good as an outfit? Stop looking at me!
To me, that's a man who's very obsessed.
My first question is, if you're so afraid of people that you claim are Nazis, why are you trying to engage with them? It's not like these people are obsessed with Rachel Gilmore. They're promoting a nationalist identity which puts Canada first. Some people in the group are more extreme than others, but from what I gather, they just want our Canadian identity to be restored to what it once was. And people like Rachel don't get all bent out of shape when countries like China, Japan, or Ukraine want to preserve their national identity, but when Canadians do it, that apparently makes them racist, far-right extremists.
Canada has has a far-right extremism problem.
Far-right
movements within Canada.
Their main thing is re-migration, which Anti-Hate describes as, quote, the mass deportations of people who aren't European. According to multiple experts, this is a form of ethnic cleansing. According to...
Just to interrupt here. Ethnic cleansing is what's happening to the Canadian people by bringing in mass amounts of other race people. By trying to preserve the Canadian people is not ethnic cleansing. If anything, it should be considered ethnic bolstering or ethnic reinforcement. Because not only are we going to help the ethnic numbers from where these people hail from, we're going to help our own. See, a misconception about Diagonalon or Second Sons is that we don't think diversity is a strength. In fact, we do. But there's only one way to preserve diversity, is there? The only way to preserve diversity is to make sure we have our own spaces.
To their own website, remove the illegitimate population through the revocation of permanent residency, mass deportations, and even by encouraging naturalized citizens to voluntarily leave Canada.
Rachel consistently makes unfounded claims which are based on...
And I'll restate that. Yeah, when I say diversity is a strength, I mean globally. As a nation, homogeny is a strength. Yeah, I think that went over a few of you guys' fucking heads when I said that. How do you preserve diversity? The only way to preserve diversity is segregation. You have to really listen to the words I'm saying here.
On her presuppositions of conservative white people, she's partnered with Canada's Anti-Hate Network on several occasions to push these false narratives.
The Canadian Anti-Hate Network, a nonprofit that exposes extremism. I want to give a huge shout out to the folks at the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, who are a huge help as I research this piece. You'd be better off going to antihate.ca and reading their full piece, but with their permission, I am going to do my best to summarize.
When you cry racism about every white person who disagrees with your politics, and then you encounter real racism, people are not going to believe you. She's not engaging in fair, nonpartisan journalism. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be able to report from an unbiased perspective either. My belief systems are firmly ingrained and will remain unchanged until the day I die. She relies on engagement farming and rage posting to get views. That's her main goal, not informing people. She doesn't provide any unique perspectives on Canadian politics because she puts her emotions above everything and puppets far-left ideology, which led to this happening.
I'm a Canadian journalist, and last night, two white nationalists who I reported on came to intimidate me on a...
Let's be honest, that was the moment you've been waiting for, because there's a cycle here, there's a pattern. It's almost what David Icke called, you know, problem, reaction, solution. This is kind of what you do, Rachel, is you create the problem, and then the problem says hi to you, and you have a reaction, and you garner support from your retard fans from fucking being a retard.
A private night out. This is the photo I took of them. I've got two more while they were doing this. I was at a small local music venue. I was watching my boyfriend play music with some friends. But I'll be honest, I was a little nervous that something like this would happen because I had just published a huge expose unmasking where these guys were training and a member of their group. So as a result of my reporting, they severed ties with the coach that had been facilitating these after-hours training sessions. That's the coach in the background there showing up to intimidate me. And this is his little friend. And as you can see...
Nobody showed up to intimidate you, Rachel. People went to a bar in a public place having a night out. They did not approach you or anything. They did, as far as I know, they didn't even know you were there until you went up to them.
He's not hiding shit. That's a Totenkopf, which is a...
the ERA symbol. This was definitely one of the biggest investigations I've done and one that's had the most immediate impact. Last night, in between sets, I had just been speaking with a friend and I turned around and I saw these two guys standing there. They were staring at me. So I walked right up and I said, "Can I help you with something?" He was questioning me about when my next piece is coming out. And then he name dropped my old gym and said, "Yeah, maybe we'll drop by sometime." Luckily, I stopped going there.
Well, they obviously need a new gym to work out at now, you dumb bitch.
Their goal was very clearly to intimidate me. They found where I was spending my night off with friends. They knew where I worked out and they wanted me to know it. All because I did reporting exposing them for the things that they choose to say and do. If you don't want to be exposed as a Nazi, don't be a Nazi.
I don't agree.
If you don't agree with the things that I say, well, then I'm going to dox you. If you don't think exactly how I think, well, then that's your fucking problem, isn't it? Yeah.
With people showing up to intimidate Rachel, but I'm also not surprised that it happened.
Because the existence of people of color seems to make them go pee-pee in their diapies. Such tough guys, though, right?
To watch a guy who live streams the same dumb, generally hateful rants of men who fear me. I scare them. My work scares them.
Bunch of white nationalists donned their little costumes again and demanded to be taken seriously. Because there are dozens of them. Dozens. It's basically the adult male version of a kid that keeps doing this.
Apparently you can go from zero to a complete site in just a single...
Ah, fuck. That's honestly fucking hilarious, though. These guys ain't shit. They ain't shit. They're not scary. They're fucking losers. They ain't shit. Oh my god, they're shit! And they're coming after me! Oh my god! You're a fucking retard, Rachel.
Setting aside the obvious concerning claim that Rachel made about receiving intel from a government official to assist in the doxing of a private citizen, it's justifiable why people don't want to show their faces when they protest. Peacefully, I might add, without inciting any hatred or violence.
Well, most of these guys refuse to take their masks off. A couple of them were masked off. Want to know who they are? This is Diabolon leader Jeremy McKenzie. That's Alex Brend. This is Derek Harrison, Sean Beauvais McDonald.
I obtained a copy of the email they sent out to their Ottawa attendees. Just got my hands on leaked audio from the far-right extremist group. They're also not releasing the names of the venues ahead of time so they can avoid their events being canceled.
I obtained leaked audio. Further, a central idea in the Active Club movement is that while violence may not be immediate, it is imminent. The claim is that a race war is inevitable and the only way to survive is to prepare to fight. While most Active Club representatives have not been directly linked to coordinated attacks, the use of intimidation, street violence, doxing, and calls to prepare for armed violent conflict, for example, a race war, can create risk for more extreme violence.
When you say race war, would that entitle like all the Indians that are killing all the people all over our roads? The Indians participating in extortion out in BC? The Iranians that are shooting the consulate? The Iranian shooting synagogues. Would that be the race war that you're talking about? Because what does multiculturalism really mean? It's multi-problemism. It means more cultures that you import, the more problems you import. You're now importing their old school desert beefs.
Rachel is the one who's initiating the conflict. She's the one seeking attention from these groups, and she's the one acting like a bully. If you need further evidence that she's unbelievably obsessed with these people...
Jeremy McKenzie, that's a man who's very obsessed and very afraid.
Diagolon, Jeremy McKenzie, Diagolon. Second Sons Canada, Diagolon, Diagolon. Second Sons Canada, Diagolon leader Jeremy McKenzie,
Jeremy McKenzie,
Jeremy McKenzie,
Jeremy McKenzie,
Jeremy McKenzie.
Now that's what I call fan behavior.
It seems to me that there's only one instigator in this.
That was an awesome montage. Well done. Well done. Society Unveiled. You guys go subscribe to his channel. That I know the amount of work and patience that went into doing that because she's unbearable to listen to. And he had to listen to all those different videos. Good on you, mate.
scenario. And that's Rachel. She's been constantly throwing insults and making defamatory claims about them with virtually zero pushback. How is anything that they're doing affecting her life, other than just disagreeing with their opinions? These people aren't guilty of any crimes, otherwise they'd be locked up, wouldn't they? Just because everyone doesn't share your beliefs doesn't mean that you're right. Nobody from these groups were consistently berating you the way you do to them, and they probably didn't even know who you were. But you felt the need to do what you call a deep dive in a desperate attempt to validate your journalistic abilities. You thought this was going to be your breakthrough defining moment to add more validity to your reporting prowess. Rachel was expecting to see an article on mainstream Canadian media about her reporting, but it never happened.
It has been 2 days since this happened. And not a single press freedom organization or any of these professional associations that are supposed to defend journalists in exactly this kind of situation have even contacted me. You can become an imperfect victim such that these organizations don't feel as though they have to protect and defend you, even if that has broader implications for the industry. None of these institutions care that this happened to me. The public has made it very clear, just based on the response that I am so grateful for, that this is a big deal. But if our institutions, our media, our press freedom organizations ignore that public reaction and treat it as if it doesn't.
Who exactly do you think you're reaching with your commentary, Rachel? Do you think that you're reaching the entire Canadian population when this goes down? That when your video gets 100,000 views, do you think that they're all watching because they agree with you? A lot of people hate watch you. You know, like, who exactly do you think you reach? Because we've seen this before. Chris Sky had a ton of online support, but he got like 13,000 votes when he actually got into an election. So the majority of your fan base is probably a bunch of retarded Americans that don't care about Canadian politics.
It matter? Like, what kind of world are they creating in the process? What are they enabling, facilitating, even justifying? Out of everything I went through this week, that's the aspect that really hurt me.
What the fuck do you mean? Everything that you went through. What is everything that you went through that you didn't bring on yourself?
In the midst of a beef with the very people you've been bashing for years, and now you act shocked and horrified? You're worried and upset because it totally backfired. You can't victimize other people and dig into their private lives to destroy their careers and then claim to be the victim. You're upset because nobody is rushing to your defense like you hoped, but maybe you should do some self-reflection and ask yourself why. I believe Rachel has been attempting to kick the hornet's nest in some hopes that one of the members from these groups would act out in a violent response. It's almost like she's wishing that her rhetoric about extremist groups will come to fruition so it validates her inner bias. You represent a group that talks about inclusivity and diversity. Well, that includes diversity of opinions that you disagree with too, Rachel. If you're serious about being a journalist, then be a journalist and stop with the lazy tactics. When you keep incessantly poking the bear, don't act all shocked when it bites back. Julio Zardo was a Canadian Olympian whose sole crime was lifting dumbbells and hanging out with friends, and he lost his job for it. Disagreeing with someone's political beliefs is not an excuse to destroy someone's personal life. So if you have even a dollar, consider heading over to the link in the pinned comment and help Zardo open up his own gym, where Rachel can't get him fired. If you agree with my political commentary, show me some love by hitting the like button, subscribe to my channel so we can grow and get recommended to others. This is Society Unveiled. Thanks for watching.
Society Unveiled, well done. Good job. And even pushing his GoFundMe at the end of it. There are some actually very good journalists in this country. He wasn't promoting our ideology and he wasn't promoting Second Sons, but he was looking at this impartially. You know, everybody can see what you're doing, Rachel. That's why the people on your own side won't even back you up, because they think you're toxic. You're a piece of shit. And I don't think I really have anything more for us to go over, unless you guys just want to shit on Rachel some more. I don't know. It doesn't doesn't bring any more joy. I mean, it's always fun to shit on Rachel, but it'd be funner to shit on her for more recent things, because she won't be done yet. She's gonna milk this cow for as long as she can, so we might as well enjoy the raw, unpasteurized milk coming from her teat. What else do you guys want to talk about? Let's talk about some bullshit now. You guys bring up some bullshit. I saw the Iranians standing. It's wild, isn't it, that the Iranians are holding a protest with more people, more Iranians, than what the protests in Canada are garnering. Because those protests in Canada are huge. Those are huge for the Iranians, and they're all pissed at the regime. Now, probably because they got ousted by the regime. They were probably sent out of there because they were probably communists or against the progress of the Iranian state. So they got kicked out to make Iran stronger. You know, send them over to Canada, where Hiroshima went off. And you guys can hang out with the queers. That's probably what they did. It's probably a bunch of gays that Iran sent over here. Maybe that's why we're not having population growth in Canada, is because we're importing a bunch of faggots. Oh, fuck. Am I allowed to say that on YouTube? They might have got another strike. The faggerinos. Do you guys know of any other white sites? Any white dating sites that I could join up on? Because I'm going to start dating again, I think. Yeah, I think it's time. Maybe I'll even date somebody younger so I can have more white babies. I doubt it. I'm too old now to be having white babies, even though like a bunch of my friends are still having them at this age. But it just doesn't feel right to have more kids at this age to fucking... it just wouldn't be right. Like, I'll be dead in fucking couple of decades, even less. So I don't want to bring somebody into the world if I'll be gone. What you guys can do, and actually here's a good fucking tactic for everybody. And this was actually brought to me by my daughter. White girls, get on the dating sites. Because we know there are disproportionate amount of guys going for girls on the dating sites. But if you girls get on the dating sites and say, oh, sorry, I'm only looking for a white guy that's part of Second Sons, you could actually... All right. If this is... Women have been asking what they could do for Second Sons. Go on the dating sites and start bringing white men over to Second Sons. That's the best advertising we're going to get. Okay, Madam Breezy, even if you have a boyfriend right now, I need you to get on some dating sites and start luring them in. I would only date a guy that was man enough to be part of Second Sons. No, Leaf Nurse, you're not too old. Get in there. Bring those dating. I think we should. You know what? I might even make up an AI fucking hot chick and get on these dating sites myself and look for disenfranchised white men. Let's do it. I think that would be fucking hilarious. Ladies, you're not too old to put on a filter and fucking get on those dating sites and start bringing men in there. You just answer every single message that you get and just say, hey, you know, only the Chads are joining SSC. So you guys should get into Second Sons. That's a good idea. All right, there's your homework. Yes. Oh, yes. I got the rubbing hands, because that's a rubbing hands idea, right? Why, they? I've got a great idea. We're not going to call it J date. We'll call it W date. Get on there and bring me those desperate white men. You have a member in the club capable of doing that? Who? Who's going to do that? Is Morgan going to do it? I doubt it. I think that's funny. It's not a honeypot. That's not a honeypot. Well, actually, no, you're right. That's exactly what it is. It's totally a honeypot. There's the homework, too, for guys that are sitting at home. Go on there and honeypot the fucking dudes. Join Tinder and start looking for dudes. And you'll have to go through all the Indian folks, too, I guess. That's my plan. That's my plan to get Canada back. The dating sites. It works, right? And don't be afraid to use fake pictures if you don't feel that your appearance is enough to attract young white men. Get on it. I want people sending me pictures of their profiles on Tinder and OkCupid and Plenty. Oh, that's the name. If you guys are going to start a site, call it Plenty of Fash. Boom. Plenty of Fash. Fuck. Oh, fuck. I should be drinking more often in my streams, I think. Just come up with some funny shit. But that is why I kind of fucking cut back a bit on drinking, is it was affecting my life. Plenty of Fash. That's our fucking... That one should even be written down. Plenty of Fash. What else could we have? What other? Okay, Cupid? I can't really think of one for that. You guys got to have some, right? What am I smoking? Bushweed right now. But yeah, I'm drinking bush beer and I'm smoking bushweed. This stuff sucks. It's not, I don't mean that it sucks. I mean, it's good stuff. It's just I let it sit for too long. And it kind of got a little dry, so I still smoke it. 1488 date? Nice, Fanny. That's a good idea. Fishing for Fash? Not bad. Not bad. No, these aren't Jew cigarettes. These are native cigarettes. So there's probably like sticks and roach wings rolled up in it and shit. What about Bumble? There's got to be a one that sounds like Bumble, right? There's got to be more. I'm sure there's more that we can come up with. I'll try and think about it tonight as well. But Plenty of Fash is fucking... pretty good. Smash the Fash. Gotta get that t-shirt made. Somebody should send me that t-shirt, actually. Buzzkrieg? That's not bad. That'd be good. Yeah, Buzzkrieg, Plenty of Fash. Fashley Madison! Well fucking done. That's a good one. Fashley Madison. Oh, brilliant. That's a good one. That's probably better than mine, actually. Plenty of Fash. Or it's on par, at least. That was fucking good. Ass grass or Fash? Look at that German Shepherd. Yeah, spring has sprung. The birds and the bees, it's mating season. I think everybody is starting to get the level of... because we all go through that seasonal depression, you know. We get a little shack wacky or cabin fever, if you will. Fash life. Fucking brilliant. Oh, dude, there's so many good... we should all be starting dating sites. Fash life. Well done. Kind of shows your age, but, you know, I like it. But yeah, there was a long winter. There's a lot of snow. We're about to go through a really, really shitty spring melting season because of the amount of snow. And I'm thinking about taking another trip out west. But I might be gone a little longer. I might go out and do Hitler hose. Fash Finder. Fuck, you guys are good. Dag Harmony, not bad. But yeah, I'm thinking about going out west for a bit to do some work and like just change the scenery and shit like that. Because why not? Cause some shit out that way. And rock the bass. Yeah, you're a little late on the Plenty of Fash. That was mine. Yeah, like I was saying, everybody's going through that seasonal depression and we're about to come out of hibernation and have some fun. Everybody's going to feel a lot better, eh? Blitz and chill? Blitzkrieg and chill? It's close. You're onto something there. But I like this idea. Runeheart? Dagwaffen date? There's some good ones. Blondies for Bumble? Not bad. Yeah, if I do go out west, I'll be driving out there, so I'll be stopping at a bunch of different people's places. Go to Kelowna and you and Ozzy get a part on Canada. Dude, that's so gay. The fucking Canada Shore. Like, come up with your own shit. We did have our own little, what do you call it, reality TV show, and it was about snowboarding and shit way back in the day. And they actually started the trend of girls wearing one feather in one ear. Oh my God, Steve. Steve fucking nailed it. Maybe you didn't nail it. That's probably a bad one. You know, that's probably hit her. Maybe taken two different ways, but I like where your head is at. fuck, that's some funny shit. Plenty of Fash. Guys, start that one up. Somebody's got to start. I don't know who's the computer geeks or whatnot. Start that one up. You're fucking drinking Bush and smoking Red Smokes with me? Fuck yeah, buddy. Hang loose. Winner. Oh, that was the one I was going for. Hilter? Close. Not bad. Oh, that was not bad. The Fuhrer and you. Oh, fuck, that's great. Tinder, no binder. Fuck, that's good. Oh, we could go on for a while with that. fuck, that's some good shit. That's funny. We'll come up with one, though. We should come up with one. But it's definitely... Maybe we shouldn't be so explicit about it, because we do have to try and convert a bunch of communist bitches and liberal bitches to get them onto the site, because let's be honest, women's politics, they can be easily swayed by an alpha male or like at least a sigma, somebody that's assertive in their life. They'll fall in line, right? What was that one? Fashion Finder? It's not bad. Why is that one called... Like, you can say Fashion Finder. Shouldn't Tinder be pronounced Tinder? Finder, Tinder, Tinder, Finder. Finder, Binder, Tinder. I fucking hate English. English is dumb. Now, one of the ones, I know you guys like to make fun of my Derekisms, but I stand by what I say about epitome, not epitome, it's epitome. Like, when you say, you don't say the epicenter, do you? We're going to the epicenter, not the epicenter. No, it's epicenter. It should be epitome. I stand by that. No picking on the silly rules of English. They're silly. Finder, binder, finder, tinder. Doesn't make no sense. No sense, damn it. You were watching yesterday's show because you missed it. I had to reboot the computer and find this. Yeah, you found it. You found us. What day is it? It's Tuesday? Tuesday. I never go on a Tuesday. I think, normally it was edgy. No, it's Fairy goes on Tuesdays. Tuesdays is, actually, Tuesdays is Taco Tuesday and fucking Nigger Night at the Movies. Don't fucking come at me about saying nigger about the movie theater. We all know it as Nigger Night because it's half price night. And none of us go on half price night because we're willing to pay full price to stay away from the people that like to talk in movie theaters. Dagtastic, Derek is Bubbles in real life? I don't fucking think so. I've got Ricky written all over me. I do. I have Ricky written all over me, and I know I do. Yeah, why do we have so many words that sound the same and mean nothing the same? Exactly. Like mouse, mice, house. It should be heist, right? More houses should be heist. I stand by that one, too. And moose. You don't say mooses or meese. Yeah. Fair and fair. Exactly. Food and good. Good. Yeah. You guys are on it. You're on my side. Read, read, and read. That's a good one. Yeah. Making no sense. So, Bubbles looks like Eddie the Eagle, does he? Yeah, I think Edgy. Well, no. Edgy wasn't Bubbles. It was East Coast Canadian was Bubbles. East Coast Canadian had that fucking. I could have pictured him as the Green Bastard. He had that fucking laugh. Down chat, the way you talk about certain things, they'd all do that fucking little accent. Another good one, there, there, and there. There, there. Right and right, another good one. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking the English language is fucked, bud. Holy fuck. East Coast Canadian just shows up out of nowhere. Just fucking shows up. Hope you're doing good, bud. I'd like to fucking talk to you soon if we could. Even if it's after this podcast, I'll fucking send you a link. You can come. You want to join me right now, bud? I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, come on in. Come say hi to your buds. It's been a while. We miss your videos, man. You always had the fucking funniest videos on YouTube, and it's just gone. Brought some of the best humor to this epicenter of fucking racism and bigotry. Yeah, we can plan something, dude. I'd love to talk to you again. Even if it's private, you don't have to come on the stream to do shit. Chucky's Extremist Circus says, in North Bay, we call half price night Naboon. Naboon night because Tuesdays are infested with fat old squaws and their welfare babies. Yeah. You're not done yet, eh, bud? Not done what? You're not done work yet? Or you're not done fucking making funny videos yet? I'd like to see some more. Are you working on a movie or anything like that? Because one of the fucking jokes that sticks with me, even to this day, was so nonchalant in one of your movies. I think it's fucking Bigfoot. No, it's Big Feet. What do you mean Big Feet? He's got two. And that was just the fucking end of it. And I was sitting there howling to the point where I had to rewind it because I missed the part of the fucking movie. That shit was hilarious. That's not Bigfoot. It's Big Feet because he's got two. Oh, shit. That made me laugh. Yeah, I might go back and watch Boog to the Future because we got to do another one of those. I might fucking get in on it too. Boog to the Trebuchet? Could be. Well, we're coming up on an hour and a half tonight and I've just been going by myself. I didn't even have anybody to sit here and talk off to. But we did play that video that was like 20 minutes long as well. NDPMP just crossed the floor today. Libtards have a majority in Parliament. All of that is just fucking political theater. It really is. I just noticed I had ashes on my fucking sweater by looking at myself. Yeah, it's all political theater because who believes in elections anyway? Elections are not real. Just like birds. They're not fucking real. They come out, Elections Canada always comes out a couple of fucking weeks after the election when nobody can do anything about it and say, oh, by the fucking way, we had enough ballots that were just lost in the mail that we magically found right now that could have swayed the election and changed the entire trajectory of this entire country. But sorry about that. It's too late. He's already in office. We can't do anything about it. We might as well just cope along with what's going on. Yeah. What's my mother tongue? Tabernacle to the future. Go back, Tabernacle. We need to bring Tabernacle into the fucking... I designed a sweater, actually. I designed a sweater that I think you guys deserve to see. And I was going to add it to our merch list. There's a few different ones. So you'd have to tell me which one you like the guys the most. But I want to turn Tabernacle into a fucking international brand. I think it could happen. You tell me which one you like the most. Tabernacle this one. Tabernacle that one. That one you don't see very often. That'd be pretty fucking cool to have. Or a combination of the both. Like, tell me you wouldn't fucking wear that. Eh? That's a fucking sweater. I would wear that in a second. I'd wear that. I might get my own personal one made. Just fucking Tabernacle nationalism. Or Tabernacle fascism. Fashion. Tabernacle fashion, not fascism. Fashionable fascism. Well, fascism is always fashionable. I mean, Hugo Boss. Like, come on. They were the best looking army in World War II. You know, they were. Put the fash back. Put the fashion back in fascism. Why not? Because let's be honest. What's the only way that Canada is going to be fixed? I want to do a video on this, but I don't know how. Do you know that fucking magical sound? And you could say fascism in like not a rainbow, but like a shooting star type thing. Fascism. How do we stop all the people from dying on our roads? Psh, fascism. How do we stop people from taxing us out of control? Psh, fascism. How do we stop Indians from invading and committing extortion on all of our population? Psh, fascism. Yep, it's an ism. It's an ism. But the only way to get Canada back on track is to give power to Caesar. If you don't give power to Caesar, and it is a risk, you have to take that risk. Because we all see that if we don't do anything, this country is going to the birds. So, would you rather watch it go to the birds or roll the dice with an authoritarian leader or a benevolent dictator, as you will, and see how it turns out? Because we're there. We don't like the way things are going. Our kids are being turned into trannies that are going around doing school shootings. We're being shot at by Indians. We're being killed on the road. There's more people that died on Highway 11 than what died during COVID. So yes, it's a fucking emergency, but they're not doing anything about it. Two fathers have come out from the Humboldt Broncos that could really smash the fucking narrative here in Canada. I've reached out to both of them. I've reached out to both of them to see if they want to use my platform. And not that I think Mocha's doing a bad job or anything like that. I would just like their voice to be brought out to as many people as possible. Because I could see that, like, Chris Joseph's, he's right there. And he's being politically correct because I imagine he has a job and a whole bunch of things that he has to keep in line. So he's being very, very political or very careful about what he's saying. But we know what he's saying. Like, why the fuck should Sidhu Sanko, what the fuck is that cocksucker's name that did the crash? He doesn't belong in Canada. That, you know what? Maybe we'll talk about that before I go. We'll find that one. There's a video recently that come out. Maybe I shared it on my profile. I can find it there. Because I called her a racist bitch. And it's wild that Humboldt Broncos has been brought back into the conversation. Now, I'm not trying to toot our own horn here, but we did bring Indian Trucks Kill Canucks into the limelight. Could that be what sparked Mocha to go and talk to Chris Joseph and the different fathers of the Humboldt Broncos? Possibly. So I would like to think the ripple effect did come from us because they're directly linked. Indian Trucks Killing Canucks is exactly what happened to the Humboldt Broncos, isn't it? So I would like to think the ripple effect did come from us. Kudos, Ferry, for that fucking coming up with the slogan and all the guys for putting in the work for doing that because it did, like I said, have the ripple effect and pushing more people to talk about it. And it's been brought into the limelight more so than just Mocha's post. Like, a lot of people have been talking about this. Juno News has brought it up. I'm just going to try and find that Kizunt. That was talking about it. Because the gaslighting that she did too. Ooh, fuck. I wish I could find that. If anybody has the link to that, send it over to me. The reporter that just talked about it tried to act as though it was a good thing, despite the fact that she did a puff piece on Jaskarat saying that he should stay in the country. One of the Humboldt Broncos dad did talk to her underneath her own post saying, "This is a lie. This is selfish. You cut out my words and all that stuff." And she had the nerve to respond back to him saying, "Well, now the country knows that he's still in the country. So I did you a favor. You fucking cunt. It would be easier to deport him out of here if you did a piece that was honest about it and didn't cut out their fucking words." That really got to me, that one. Anyways, it's fine if we can fucking find this. I tweet so much. It's hard to find. There it is. I found it. Karen Pauls, member of the Canadian Armed Forces. No, fuck, this was the wrong one. Wrong one. Something else. Lee, you normally watch it and have these things fucking handy. Zaniel, I won't take that kind of fucking lip from you, okay? Talking about Terry Fox like that. I gotta try and find this. Fuck, maybe I didn't. I'm gonna have to look at her post for it. But it was Karen Pauls, was it? Never heard of her until she started talking about this stupid shit. Give me a second here, guys. I'll find it. Yeah, bro reacted to it. Wasn't that one? That one, that one. That's it. Yeah, you found it, Snitter. Same time I did. Very good. Very, very good. The man responsible for the 2018 Humboldt Broncos bus crash could be deported to India within weeks, leaving behind his wife and two children who are pleading with Canada to let him stay. I got an exclusive interview. Nobody wants to hear from this guy. They want him out of the country, you fucking cunt. We don't want him to have anchor babies here. And even if he has anchor babies and his wife is complaining that they won't be able to get along without him, go with him back to India. You guys can keep your nuclear fucking Indian family over there in India. Your kids will never be Canadian, and they will always be ridiculed here as well. Do you want to put your kids through that, bitch? Would it be better for you to go back to India? We gotta find him. His actual reaction, because I reached out to him as well. She's getting absolutely dragged online. Fuck, you'd think he'd be right up at the top, wouldn't you? Or would it be this one? Maybe he answered that one. Fuck, I can't find him. Maybe give me a minute there and I'll try to find it again. Because really, we only want to see his response. Doop, doop, doop. Oh, you know how I can find it faster? I actually sent him a message. Whoa. Huh. That's pretty fucking sweet, actually. I was just scrolling down his timeline, and I see that he retweeted, Russ Harold retweeted Blonde Bigot. That's awesome. Here it is. You know, Karen, if my voice would have been heard, I would believe your intentions. You left any fact or point I had out, created another sob story for him. Shame on you. Do you call yourself Canadian? One day it could be your son on that bus. Think about what you're doing. An unresolved, this is her now, an unresolved issue in this tragedy is Sidhu's fate. This was an update. Why he thinks he should stay and where the process is at. We got a reaction from three families, including you. That was a crucial part of the story. Most Canadians didn't even know he was still here. Now they do. Yeah, now you tugged at the heartstrings for him, allowing him to say it would hurt to be separated from his family. Like we aren't separated from ours forever. That alone should tell Canadians how much he really cares about anybody. Fucking A, I'm going to fucking like that and tweet that. And Russ, if for whatever chance, if you can hear me or somebody could send this to him, my platform is yours, mate. If you don't agree with what I say, I can hook you up with somebody in Canada that will tell your story. I'm sure Juno News has reached out to you as well. There's other platforms. So if anything, if you really, really want your story told, I would ask you to go with Wiretap. And he would probably do the most comprehensive piece on what you would have to say to tell you the truth. But that being said, my platform is completely open to you. If you want to come out and Greg Wyclef is another one. Yeah. If you don't agree with the way I say things or do things, you could go with Greg. And so please contact me and I'll hook you up with someone. Even if it's not me, you could get your voice heard. And it was actually really refreshing watching Chris Joseph say that he doesn't trust the mainstream media. There's a lot. If somebody was able to put a bunch together just in the past week, how many losses the CBC has taken. Dan Dix would be another good one. Yeah, for sure. I'll hook you up with him or you could reach out to him yourself. Or Lee, there's a lot of people that are in your corner and they would be glad to allow you to use their platform. Nobody would censor you. Nobody would edit you. We would do it live and you can say whatever the fuck you want. You know, this is something you guys could do yourselves as well. Let's be honest. Chris Joseph, if you decided to do yourself a Facebook Live or Russ, you guys could do the Facebook Live yourself, a YouTube Live. We know plenty of people that would go out and show you how to live stream to be able to do it. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that CBC story did go around. I heard quite a few people talking about it as well. But that can't be a reason why deporting him is not going to happen. It's about separating him from his family. Your family can go with you, dude. They can go with you and live in India. In fact, we would pay for their fucking ticket. Send them off. They might be in the back of a fucking shitty ass plane or whatever, but we don't mind. Somebody else can have your house. You know, because you seem to be living a pretty good life in the house that I looked at there. You know, you seem to be making some pretty good money still and not giving any of it to the victims. I haven't even reached out and said, you know, sent them a gift or fucking added to their fundraiser or any of that stuff. Instead, you just come on TV and say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And you're lying. You're self-serving. You're not going to leave. Because you're going to run into these people in this country. You're going to run into people that fucking hate you too. It would be safer for you at home, I think. It would be. No, if he did the proper jail time, he wouldn't have a family to worry about either. He wouldn't be able to fucking sow seeds into this fucking country, would he? But I mean, you can uproot them and replant them in India and they'll have wonderful lives over there, I'm sure, being closer to the people. Ben Shapiro's yarmulke? Jesus Christ. That's a funny fucking name. You're late? Well, I'll get you up to date. You need to start a profile on Tinder, and even if you don't feel comfortable putting your own pictures on there, you put up a hot chick's pictures and you start funneling white people into Second Sons. That's what we're doing. Anyways, folks, I think that's it. We should probably end it here. Unless suddenly some donations fly in, I'll stick around for a little bit. But I should be moving on. Thanks, everybody, for coming, though. Do appreciate that. Thanks, Johnny Rotten, for sending me that that tweet as well. And, yeah, that's it. Don't forget, we're going to be starting Fashley Madison. And or Plenty of Fash. You know? Oh, Intrusive Thoughts is keeping me on for a little bit longer. Thank you for the subscriptions. I appreciate it. That's what keeps this show going, guys. If you guys enjoy the show, enjoy the laughs, like hanging out in the chats with everybody, that's what keeps it going is the donations. Using the streaming service, it is it's $120 a month, believe it or not. And they got me. It was like $60 a month, and that was reasonable. And then they jumped it up. It was like $20 a month just to use it, $60 for the pro. And then after you're already involved in it and had all your shit uploaded, they bumped it up to $120. So it is $120 a month. And if I'm not making at least that, plus my internet connection, but I'd be using that anyway. So that would... yeah, that would only be half of that anyway, because I would always have an internet connection. But yeah, all right. I guess we'll stay on a little bit longer for now. I'm just gonna take a break for a second. What can we play for you guys? Gotta be something we could play for you. This one, I guess, pertains to the trucking problem. You guys can guess who it was that did this about the excavator.
They're lucky nobody was killed. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's extremely frustrating. At the end of the workday yesterday, a semi entering Saskatoon on Highway 11 was hauling equipment that was too large to move underneath the Cloverleaf overpass at Highway 16 and caused significant damage to the outer edge of the eastbound structure. Due to the extent of the damage and along the south portion of the structure, only one lane, the northmost eastbound lane on top of the bridge, will remain open until repairs are completed. We have two advanced warning systems in place, signage, right, and permitting. Signage apparently didn't help this blockhead not realize he was going to cause significant damage, and he didn't have a permit. Would advanced warning work? Potentially, but again, it's not foolproof. This bridge has been in place for 60 years. The height hasn't changed, and in this case, there was no permit for them to be traveling on this route. The load was significantly higher than the available clearance. Even if this bridge was 10 feet taller, it would have hit the next one down the road. Right now, the Saskatoon Police is investigating to decide if charges are warranted, so we're letting that process go through. Alternatively, there were some changes made to the traffic bylaw, the city's traffic bylaw, that last year, that now makes it an offense to damage city property with a motor vehicle. This allows us to seek fines and restitution, so cost recovery for the damage, directly through the provincial court instead of having to go through civil litigation. It also gives us the right to levy fines of up to $10,000 to the driver and $25,000 to the company.
That's not enough of a fine. You give out fines for stunt driving, take away their license and all that shit. $10,000 to the person and $25,000 to the company is not enough. Thank you, Robilar, for the subscriptions, and also Ben Shapiro's Yarmulke for the future creation of Fashley Madison. That's fucking brilliant, isn't it? What a great fucking name, Fashley Madison, or Plenty of Fash. These will all be coming out in the future. For sure. I did not grab smokes. So we're going to play another video for you guys. Which one? Which one? Let's do Northern Liberty Mats.
With all the racists and anti-Semites getting all the attention online lately, it would seem as though they've forgotten about us ableists and the ableist movement. And I'm just here to let you know that the ableist movement is alive and strong. F*** retarded people.
ARC, the Association for Retarded Citizens.
Fucking ableists. East Coast Canadian. If you want to help share the cost on the streaming service, you're more than welcome to use the StreamYard that me and Ferry are using because it just costs too much. So, yeah, you could fucking use ours, get her done, and get back on here because we always enjoy your presence, man. You have a song for me? It's a Twitter post? Well, I could probably use a song on the next stream. I like doing opening songs. And I'm thinking about using more of Hans's songs because he's the biggest Nazi I know.
Rachel loves being a Nazi!
Hansinator. Oh, boy. That should be a message to Rachel, if anything. It's like, dude, we have all of your information. We've had it for a long fucking time. We don't do anything because we're not what you think we are. Retard. Chucky's Extremist Circus. Thank you very much for the subscriptions. You guys must be really bored if you're trying to keep me on here tonight. I don't know if I have any other videos worthwhile watching, but... This one, okay, this video is worth fucking watching. This is funny shit. Get this one up. You will enjoy it, yeah. I swear you'll enjoy it. Mr. Jamnasek, sir, says, any chance we can change all licensing to get an intelligence mandatory test prior to repeating during medical tests? Probably not. No, we just need to get the Indians out of Canada. We've been invaded. And we won't need the fucking tests if they're gone. That's something that's been bothering me as well, is that these Ontario MPs, like John Vanthoff, did the Highway 1117 drive. And they seen trucks in the ditch. No idea why. It's just, oh, fuck, why is there a truck in the ditch? I don't get it. Because of fucking Indians. Indians are the problem on our roads. Doesn't matter how much money you give us, how much safety training you give us. Indians are the fucking problem. You'll never be able to get the scamming out of Indians. You can take the Indians out of scamming, but you'll never take the scamming out of Indians. I hope that made sense. Anyways, enjoy this video.
They hate us. They hate our religion. They don't believe in the Force at all. They don't even think that the Force is real. They think that Yoda's Force ghost is boiling in a vat of shit on Mustafar. And it's like, I thought you didn't even believe in the Force. So how does Yoda have a Force ghost? I don't know. Doesn't make sense. But that is what, it's literally, you can like read all this shit. The Toydarians fucking hate us. They write, they literally write about this shit in the Toy Mood. And like, you can read the whole fucking thing. It's all right there. I don't know how they covered up the fact that they hate us and they want us all dead for so long. But like, once the Force awakens inside of you, it doesn't go back to sleep, dude. And then you're just noticing all this shit and you're like connecting all the dots. And then you go schizophrenic mode and you're like, bro, the Toydarians did everything.
Yeah, and you like, you don't even know how to tell your original trilogy father that, you know, you as a prequels generation are enlightened to what the Toydarians are doing. He doesn't even know who the Toydarians are. He's like...
You try to tell him, you're like, dude, the Toydarians
own everything. And he's like, separatists, Toynarians, Munes, what are you talking about, dude? It was the Empire.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, who controls the Empire?
He's like, Darth Vader. Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know.
He doesn't even realize that fucking they're all puppets.
Tordarians. The fucking Tordarians, man. It's obviously the Tordarians. Nobody knows about them. It's weird watching it in the States because the dam is obviously breaking in the States. They're starting to realize that they're under an ethnocracy. Yes, I said ethnocracy because one single ethnicity is controlling the United States. And it's coming out fast. Like people, they can't avoid it. So I'm wondering if it's a controlled burn right now. Is it a controlled burn? Where they want this to happen so they could start a civil war in America. Because the empire is falling. The empire that they built is running away from Iranian hypersonic missiles. So, yeah, I guess a new empire is going to fucking start. Anyway, here's another one.
Still gay?
Yeah, it is.
Welcome to the United States of Israel, where we sell our bodies to make a good living. The public education system is cooked. College degrees cost a lifetime of debt, and even if you have one, you'll still struggle to find work. The blue-collar route, well, not much better. Meanwhile, Israel has free health care for all. They're paid a government allowance per child. Degrees are 10 times cheaper to attain, and so much more.
Wow, how did they become so progressive?
Well, we pay for it, of course.
Yep, $300 billion U.S. tax dollars given directly to genocidal Zionists.
In fact, the only thing our politicians can agree on both sides of the aisle is to bend over and spread them for Prime Minister Daddy Netanyahu.
Y'all know the price for high treason? These AIPAC-funded chomos gotta go.
Ew, he's anti-Semitic. Don't start. We're not talking Jewish heritage. We're talking psychopathic war criminals.
Ew, he's talking politics? Put me on mute then. Keep your head down. Eat your goyim slop, your genetically modified fast food that's chemically castrating you.
Oh, good job not complaining. Here's 3 schmeckles for you. Don't say anything about Gaza.
It's funny. I spent a lifetime with depression. I get on TRT. It's going like that. Look at the studies. Our hormones are being tampered with. This GMO food, the medicine, the SSRIs, it's poisoning us.
Why?
Well, because a nation of depressed and downtrodden people poses no threat. We'll roll over for our masters.
Oh, I upset you. I'm so sorry. Here's the door.
That's pretty good. Guy nailed it. That guy is married to an OnlyFans girl and he also does OnlyFans. Yeah, well, broken clock is right twice a day, isn't it? So you can't purity spiral on the different people that are willing to speak out because these are the type of people that are going to speak out first. It's the ones with nothing to lose, the people that are being forced into positions that, you know, they've got nothing else. They're going to say it. Zaniel, sir, thank you. He says, I see a lot of memes about how stupid we are because we are about to start a civil war instead of a revolution. But a revolution would just start a civil war anyway. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, that's for sure, because you're going to have so many different sides of thought. You're going to have the people that were brainwashed. You're going to have people that are trying to save the democracy. And people that are rewarded from the very system that you're trying to take down are going to try and defend it with their fucking lives, aren't they? So, no matter what, it's going to be messy. And we've done whatever we could possibly do to try and do this nonviolently. We're still trying to do it nonviolently. Nobody wants fucking violence. But we're not going to run from it when you start it. That's the difference. We know, we've known for a long fucking time that this is going to happen. It's like Iran. Iran knew that they were going to be invaded a long fucking time ago. They prepared for it and they're ready. So when you guys start with the violence, we're going to be ready.
That's all I got to say about that.
Something bit me.
Where's that one? There it is. I wasn't going to play a song on here, but you sold me on it because it's called Reich and Roll. Reich and Roll. Let's hit it. Hit it and quit it.
Take what I want, even on you, Sarge, cause I'm a Fuhrer. All in an Austrian champ, cause the fucking yeah, I want him. Blitz and the creeps, and in love, creeps, marine waste, I surrendered. Get it through your head, what the Fuhrer said, not Ronnie Lenders. Can't you say I told you so, say I'll. To believe I told you so. That is the truth, now you know. In love, Chrysalis. If you can't keep the pace, but found nice to raise, that's not my problem. Don't it need that? Never small. Wait, we're all over. Yo, way, I'll die inside a fucking bunker. Hate to say I told you so, see how
love it. Soil.
You believe I told you so. Long sit down for a race in Barbarossa. Just like Napoleon, I shouldn't have gone into Russia. Only care about Harry and don't give a shit about the others. If it all goes wrong, we can go to Eisenhower or a Gaza. I thank you once and thank you twice. I'll say all in my name, you know you wanna. What you talking about, man? I just said grab some fruit for this is awkward. Say ah! Say ah!
Rock out with your Reich out. Wow, good shit. That was fun. I'm glad I clicked on that one. I wasn't going to do it. I just thought, you know, your guys' taste in music isn't the greatest, so I wasn't going to do it, but I'm glad I did it. That was fucking hilarious. That will have to be played again at some point or another. I may steal it as my intro song. I might. Johnny Rotten sent me an edit made up of SSC. I'll play that at the end of the stream. But jam out with your clan out. Love it. Oh, yeah, that was worth playing it, man. I took a chance on that one. Thank you, turn off your TV. It was good shit. Oh, rock out with your Reich out. Not bad.
All right, we do have another one that we could play for you guys. Rock camp out. Check your FB messages when you have a chance. Will do. I'll do that after the stream. Sorry for anybody that's been trying to get a hold of me on Facebook. Once I get so many messages on Facebook, once it's gone down so far, I just don't bother to look at it because I've probably gone through like 7 or 18 messages of fucking people sending me videos and stuff, and I just give up after that. So, hoping it'll play as an intro. It will. It will for sure. That was good. All right, let's play Johnny Rotten's video. 8 fucking minutes there, bud. Fucking 8 minute long video. Holy fuck, you better put some good fucking work into this. We'll play her, though. We'll play her. Let's see. You started out with my old fucking intro? So I guess this story starts a little different than normal. I got home the other morning after a midnight shift looking for a snack, and all I had was some old Chinese food and a gummy bear from the dispensary. So me being the responsible adult that I am, set both of them aside because I know eating those is a bad combination before going to bed and would probably give me nightmares. I laid in bed and was looking at Twitter and was reading this story about these hybrid pigs terrorizing a southern Ontario town. And I was thinking about how that's how Bebop and Rocksteady were created. And then I watched some funny Trump videos and that must have triggered it.
China. Yeah. Do a muscle and no brains.
Operation I actually have for China.
I have to have my China.
China.
You know those dreams that feel so real it's hard to tell that it was a dream in the morning? I dreamt that there was evidence of the Chinese building super soldiers, and that they were growing human milk inside of cows and even making human pig. Yeah, that's not Johnny Rotten's video. That was one of my old videos. He just told me, I thought he stole the intro or something like that. I don't know why I ended up uploading that one. But the one that Johnny Rotten wants me to upload is too big. It's got to be smaller than 200 MB, so that's not going to work. I would have to upload it a different way. Yeah, sorry. That was old school Derek Rants videos. That was definitely not Johnny Rotten. Sorry about that. Yeah, you have to make it a little bit smaller. I guess the quality on it is too high or something like that, so I can't... if you upload it on Twitter or fucking... No, if I share it as a file, it doesn't play the audio. Fuck, that was an old school video, man. That was a fucking old one. Yeah, StreamYard is gay. See if you can compress it. I don't know if I can do it right now. I could try. Because I have to bring it onto my iMovie and throw it on there. Yeah, we could try it. We're fucking here. You guys have been excellent at being patient. For my shit and for my hijinks. Let's see if we can change that down to this. Quality medium. And voila. We'll see. Does it work? I don't know. I'm not very computer savvy, despite my job having everything to do with computers. Not true. My job is being a smartass and a fucking clown for everybody to laugh at. Watch the full movie and share screen. No, I have to take my audio out, and then you guys have to Let's do it that way. There, I tried to bring it down to 720p. Let's see if that works. No, still too big. Yeah, put it up on YouTubers. Okay, maybe I'll do that. I'll upload it to YouTube for you, Johnny. I'll just make it private so it I don't get a strike if it does something fucking weird. And then after it's uploaded, we'll be able to watch it with sound and all that shite. Put it on private. And we'll see how long that takes to upload. And you guys are trying to build an end tower now. We'll try that. What else is going on, guys? Yeah, it's Johnny. It'll definitely have something weird in it. I don't know, laddie. We're already at 30% uploaded, so it'll be there soon. We will watch it. It's so funny. Okay, KJV Michael, watching from Murphy Road, Cochrane, press board check. Every house is built out of press board, you fucking moron. Do you not do construction? Everybody knows where I live, too. But you're all too chicken shit to come and visit here. That's the truth. So what's the point of bringing out my address to everybody? Fucking moron. Gah. Oh, well, I guess we'll just mute you now. You fucking press board palace. Merp, 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 merp. Yeah, that's what everybody's house is fucking made out of. God, Lord, make my enemies ridiculous. Oh, fuck. Never mind, scratch that. They already are. Uh, 90%. We're almost there. Is press board particle board? Yeah, it's just, what would you call it? Press board, particle board, fucking, yeah. It's what everybody uses to literally build their house, so. Look pretty silly. Careful what I wish for. I would love it if somebody fucking came up to fucking harass me. I've been stuck in this shack for fucking all winter. I would love it. Because you wouldn't be able to get down the street before fucking me knowing you're here. You think I don't have redundancy set up? Come visit me. I dare you. Jamnastek says, if you build a runway, I'll come visit. I'm not far from the Cochrane Airport. I'll come pick you up. We can go for a fly. Actually, there's a few. Do you have those pontoons on the plane, Ed? Because that would be cool. I know some fucking places we could go fishing. That would be fucking awesome. I've always wanted to do a fly-in fishing trip. That would be fucking wicked. Get some drywall up already. Fuck you guys. I'm not putting drywall up. Oh, I got this stuff secondhand from a demo I did. I love how people want to try and make fun of a place that I live in when we live in a country where inflation is going crazy and the housing prices and housing market is completely out of control. And I find a way out of that system to get my own house and home. And people want to try and shit on it. You're angry that you're still paying rent or a mortgage that you'll never be able to pay off before you fucking die. This is a cabin, the drywall aesthetic. I might drywall the ceiling, but I'm sticking with the cabin feel with most of the wood because wood's cheaper out here. So
It is what it is.
Oh, fuck that guy in his house that he doesn't have to pay a mortgage or rent on. You know, and he could spend all his time doing this stuff instead of fucking working in a factory or fucking doing whatever it is you do for a living. Come on here and try to make fun of me for not having a mortgage. Weird. Weird. Here we go. I uploaded it to YouTube, Johnny, so you don't have to. There we go. Let's take a look at Johnny's edit.
True love has no greater equal than this, a man who would lay down his life for his friends. That is the kind of true patriot love that this country needs and is dying without.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. And there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Selfish multi-millionaire career politicians and do-nothing bureaucrats cower, hide, and pander to alien fifth columns while Canada is being pillaged, raped, and burned! How can politicians be the kind of leader Canadians deserve? Leaders like Isaac Brock? Then they cannot even tell you what a Canadian is! Canadian used to mean something. And by the grace of Almighty God, it will again. We, the loyal sons of this nation, are not defeated. We are unbroken. We are unafraid.
We stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand shoulder to shoulder. You can erase us, you'll just have to face us. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We stand shoulder to shoulder. You can erase us, you'll just have to face us.
To go home, because we are home. Canada first, Canada always. Canadians, to the bitter end.
Fuck, that was good, Johnny. Well done. Ozzy salutes you. He gives you 3 Bellamy salutes. That was fucking awesome. That was good. I actually already forwarded it to the Suns, see if they can put it up on their own account, because that was fucking awesome. It was well done. Watching that, too, makes me think a lot more about Jeremy. I don't know how he's lasted as long as he has. The constant barrage of attacks, the belittling of his character and what he's done for this country, the debanking, the decharacterization, the defamation of character, fucking, I don't know how he's lasted as long as he has. What are we saying here, Oz? Kisses? Yeah. I wouldn't be able to go through what Jeremy has done. I don't think a lot of us could, to be honest. I don't think a lot of us could. It's amazing that he's gotten as far as he has. And I'm proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with him. And it would be it would probably be a good idea if somebody made a Jeremy McKenzie Award, to be honest. Because I don't know if I'd be able to put up with what he's put up with. I don't think any of us could. But salute to him. Salute to Johnny. Salute to all of you guys. Scotian Lady says, hope the snow is melting up there too, or will be soon. Pat to Ozzy from way out here. How many springtimes has it been now? Cheers, Derek. This is my 3rd springtime, I think. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's my 3rd springtime. No, Johnny. Can the Jeremy Award be a jar of mayo? No. No, it can't. It would probably be a Philip, if anything. Jar of mayo, you fucking weirdos. No, it would be a Philip. Or a fucking Iron Man Award. Or something. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of that man. And I would never stop standing by his side. Ferry as well. Ferry has put in so much work over the past little while that you guys should really appreciate what these guys have done. Because there's not too many people like these guys that could endure the punishment that they've been giving. Yeah, but he is. Jeremy is a natural leader and inspirer. You know, people are inspired by the words he says. He's, for lack of a better term, he's a lyricist. He knows how to put the words properly together with the right amount of emotion that inspires people. And Ferry as well. Ferry knows how to cut through the bullshit and put it in terms that bring you back down to earth about what you could be thinking. He's very direct. And I'm proud to stand head and nipple with these guys. Because, you know, Jeremy's a little shorter. Ferry's taller, so it's like his head and nipple. It's not quite shoulder to shoulder. So head and nipple with these boys. No, when they look back in history about who started the revolution or counter-revolution, you can't talk about it without his name being brought up, period. Either of them. And we're not done either. We still got a lot of attacks to take on. Chicklet, I don't see myself like that. I don't. I'm not as articulate or as forward or as like a leader as these guys. And I'm not saying that to put myself down in any ways. Like, a man should know what he's capable of, and I'm not a leader.
I don't want to be a leader. I'm not the alpha. I'm more of like a sigma, if anything, I guess. I'd rather be by myself, and not a lot of people do. Like, I moved out into the country to be by myself, you know? Yeah. If, like, the world came crashing down around, I would... I would be happy. I would enjoy the mall by myself and the fucking movie theater by myself. Like, I would thoroughly enjoy all of that shit by my fucking self. Just me and Ozzy. That's it. Just me and Ozzy. Yeah, enough of that mushy fag crap shit. But I definitely would not be... I would not be still doing this if it wasn't for those men. Like, Ferry himself has, like, he has leadership qualities. He's able to condense what we're thinking into a well-constructed sentence that everybody else can repeat and use as their talking points. You know, these boys have exposed so much of what the Canadian psyche is like compared to the American. They've rejuvenated the nationalist spirit within a bunch of people. And these two guys may not be the ones to lead us to the promised one, but I'll promise you that they have sparked the mind of the guy that could. And that's just as important as being the guy that can take us there. So... gay. Let's talk about something else. It's enough fucking glazing these two faggots. I have to call them faggots afterwards, or else I feel like my manhood is challenged a little bit from glazing them so much. I'm the guy that's there to support these fellas when in their time of need and when they doubt themselves, I suppose. I know my role. I know where I sit. Smoke one more joint with you fellers, and then we'll get on. Fuck, it's been 2.5 hours of me just yipping away. Fuck you, Zaniel. I don't know what that means. Jeremy is a captain. Alex is a solid XO, and Derek is a cabin boy? Fuck you. I don't know what a cabin boy is, but I don't like it. Fucking make me sound like I'm the pool boy or something. Wearing a Speedo going around cleaning up after the people's party. I ain't no cabin boy. No, I just... you have to be able to admit when somebody's better at a job than you are. You know? You want to fix a furnace in an air conditioner? I'm your guy. You want to lead people in any sort of organizational capacity. I'm not that guy. Yeah. But I don't think I could have this any other way. Like, I wouldn't want it any other way than the way we've gone. Because of these guys, we've made history. We've made Canadian history, and we may try to be snuffed out from the actual influence that we've done together. But it'll be remembered by certain people. You know, it's already in a bunch of different books about what we did at the convoy. So, yeah. Yep. Love those guys. Scotian lady, thank you. Says, cheers to Canada's three finest men. Hail second sons in creating a better future. We are all travelers in the wilderness of this world, and the best we can find in our travels is an honest friend. That's true. We all need that. An honest friend is better than therapy or seeing a therapist. So really, that's all we pay a therapist for, isn't it? It's just to listen to what we have to say. They don't give a fuck what you talk about. They're being paid all the same to listen to your shit. So. Yeah. Again, that's all I got to say about that. Huh. Looks like my fire went out. But it's not that cold tonight, and I like it a little cooler. When we're sleeping. Because the Ozmeister, I think there might be something wrong with Oz. He might be feeling a little sick. Because there's still a part of the pizza that I gave him laying there on the floor. He doesn't want it. But that's my boy. This, all right, this is something I want to show you guys. Because if I ever go missing when I go out west, this will be the reason. This is where I want to go. What is it called? The Nahanni Valley or something like that? Yeah, the Nahanni National Park Reserve. If I go out west, there's a few things that I want to do. I want to go hunting with Chris Lysak because the guy seems to know where all the animals are all the time. So I want to go hunting with Chris Lysak and I want to spend a night in the Nahanni Valley. Yeah, Ozzy has been needy of attention lately. It could be coming to his time, you know. He's 8 years old, and bulldogs usually land 8 years old. Although he still looks pretty spry, and, you know, he's still in better shape than the average bulldog. I don't have too much time left with Ozzy, so I try to give him the best of everything that we got. What's that, Magpie? Say Derek needs to go the Brocket Res out here and live stream it. Ask the people about Jeets. Yeah, I'd like that. That'd be cool. No, oily film. My pizza was not made by Jeets. I specifically go to a French-owned pizzeria that's up here. I will not eat at any of the fast food chains. So thank you, Jeets, for that. You are so disgusting that you made me stop eating fast food. But yes, the Nahanni Valley is the valley of headless people. Yes, Liquid Gal, you're right. It's where the headless people hang out, and they've got some fucking cool stories about that. That one's too long to show. Here, I'll show you guys this video instead. This should be good. Yeah, I want to spend a night here.
Words cannot describe the first moment we approach Nahanni National Park. Sitting aboard a float plane, Ted Simpson, owner of Simpson Air, flew us up and over this massive, untouched park on one of his popular five-hour tours.
It's not untouched.
We flew by jagged mountain peaks, numerous canyons, massive rivers, hot springs, and waterfalls. It was truly magical. And had the weather been more cooperative, we could have gone even deeper. We did land, though, right next to Angel Falls, which is twice the height of Niagara Falls.
Yeah, it's in the Northwest Territories.
Here we met Parks Canada staff who brought us on a short hike to see the falls from different angles and to capture them with our drone. For those with more time, the trail also leads down towards the bottom portion of the river where you can witness the falls from below. Absolutely massive. The park encompasses 30,000 square kilometers and is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. In fact, it's the first UNESCO World Heritage Site, which is pretty incredible considering there are now over 1,000 of them all across the world. There are no roads for hundreds of miles, and the only way to come in is via a multi-week canoeing expedition or a flight scene tour, such as the one we were on. This is part of what makes Nahanni National Park so special. It's virtually undisturbed. It only receives around 1,000 visitors per year, which is less than what Banff National Park gets in a single day. You have to really want to see Nahanni to make it there. You need to crave adventure. A 5-hour flight seeing tour isn't exactly cheap, and a 3-week canoe trip is even more. Then there's the cost and time of getting to Fort Simpson in the first place. You have to either drive all the way to the Northwest Territories, which includes hundreds of kilometers of dirt roads, or fly with a small carrier such as First Air. But as I mentioned, that's what keeps Nahanni so wild and pure. It's what keeps the area so mystical in a sense, an isolated place such as Antarctica or the North Pole. Yet, experiencing the park is far from impossible. With enough will and adventure, and some money to back it up, you too can experience Nahanni National Park with your own eyes, a true Canadian wilderness icon.
All right. So we've seen the tourist attraction version of that. Let's go to the other ones. These ones are better. This is where I want to go.
In a remote area of Canada's Northwest Territories lies a place surrounded by mystery and legend. This place is known as the Nahanni Valley in the Nahanni National Park Reserve, also known by some as the Valley of Headless Men. Reaching Nahanni is not easy and can be a challenge for even the most experienced adventurers. It can only be reached by bushplane, boat, or a long, grueling overland hike through tough, rugged terrain and wilderness. Over the decades, many unfortunate travelers and explorers have gone missing, or they turned up dead under strange circumstances. With its breathtaking natural beauty, geography, abundant and diverse flora and fauna, Nahanni Valley was made a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1978. Due to its remoteness, Nahanni Valley has remained largely untouched over the centuries. The first Europeans to reach this area were fur traders expanding into the region in the 18th century, and further expanded with Alexander Mackenzie's exploration of the Mackenzie River, also known as Decho, by the Dene people. John McLeod, a fur trader with the Hudson's Bay...
I don't know if I get kicked off YouTube for showing this shit, but I'm supposed to be like critiquing it and not quite playing it all the way through, so I just pause it like this to say a few things. But yes, it's known as the Valley of Headless Men because they just find headless dudes there all the time. People go there for gold panning or Bigfoot exploration, and the bodies are just found headless afterwards.
Company was the first recorded European to venture into the Nahanni region in the year 1823. Historically, the lands around the Nahanni Valley were home to the indigenous Dene people, who settled here around 10,000 years ago. Dene tradition tells us that the Nahanni Valley was once in...
Whoa. What do you mean they settled there 10,000 years ago? You mean to tell me that these people are immigrants? Anyways.
Inhabited by a nomadic, warlike tribe called the Naha. Naha warriors often raided Dene settlements in the lowlands as they descended from the mountains. They became the main foes of the Dene people and were greatly feared. The Dene state that the Naha people...
Look at that person's face. Is that blonde hair I see on that fucking super fat face of a person?
...will simply vanish suddenly, ceasing their raids and disappearing. Mysteries surround the Naha, but no trace of them has ever been found. The Dene mostly stayed away from the valley as they considered it an evil place. The ones that did venture into the valley to search for food would return to tell stories of the evil spirits that could make men vanish. Legend also tells of hairy man-eating giants known as Nakani. They dwelled in the caves during the day and came out at night to hunt.
That's Bigfoot. Like, if I'm ever going to find Bigfoot, this is where I'm going to find it. I may lose my head finding Bigfoot, but goddammit, I'm going to find him.
Most believe that these tales were nothing more than myths and fictional stories. The mysteries surrounding the valley didn't just come from these stories and tales, though. Several deaths and disappearances in the early to mid-1900s within Nahanni Valley fueled even more mystery. Most of these occurred along the South Nahanni...
Who is that? Hammerson Peters? Covers a bunch of weird Canadian shit like this? Yeah, I should try and get Northern Liberty Matt to talk about this as well. Because this is fucking... But I don't know why I'm drawn to this place.
River. There are four main canyons that line the Sohnahani River. Prospectors numbered them as they traveled up the river. The fourth canyon, also called Painted Canyon, begins with the stunning Virginia Falls.
Oof.
Located in Funeral Range, the third canyon has long slopes instead of steep, flat walls. Big Bend marks the end of third and the beginning of second canyon. It runs through the Headless Range.
That's fucking gorgeous. And it looks like they have a beach for my chair right there.
You will pass by the gate and famous Pulpit Rock. In the first canyon after Dead Men Valley, the walls are the highest and most vertical. These are Canada's deepest river canyons, up to 1,200 meters deep. During the Klondike Gold Rush and shortly after in the early 1900s, many prospectors wanted to test their fortunes outside the Yukon and head out to the other parts of the remote Canadian wilderness. Among those men were Willie and Frank McLeod, Métis...
Big Willie and Frank! What's wrong with their eyes?
Brothers. Sometime around 1905, 2 years after their first trip, the McLeod brothers and an engineer named Weir disappeared up the Sohnahanni. They were never seen alive again.
An engineer named Weir.
In 1908, 3 years after the McLeod brothers' departure, Willie and Frank's younger brother, Charlie, formed a search party and headed up to Sohnahanni. After several days, Charlie and his crew made a horrifying discovery. On a flat stretch of riverbank known afterwards as Dead Men Valley, there were the decapitated remains of Willie and Frank McLeod. Their heads were nowhere to be found. The third man, their companion, Weir, was missing and never found.
Because he fucking took off after he saw his buddies get decapitated.
There were many theories. Some spoke of rival prospectors killing one another, while others attributed the deaths to wild animals. And others stated the indigenous of the area left the headless corpses as a warning to other trespassers. One source, an early publication by McLean's magazine dated March 15, 1947, states that the McLeod brothers' headless bodies were not really headless at all, but in fact they were identified by remnants of hair on the skulls. Legend has it that the lost McLeod mine, where the two brothers found their fortune, still remains hidden somewhere in the valley. Then there was Martin Jorgensen, a Yukon prospector who entered the Nahanni Valley in 1917 in search of lost gold. He vanished and his headless corpse was found near the mouth of the Flat River.
Those places, like you see places like this when you're driving into BC, just at the side of the road, you can pull over and fucking access it. It was so beautiful and untouched, but now we have a bunch of Jeets in this fucking city. We have a bunch of Jeets in this country that are just going to absolutely ruin the shorelines and the rivers of these places. We've seen how they live. We know that's fucking true. They don't magically come here and then all of a sudden, I'm going to start using a garbage can. For some reason, I'm just compelled to use a garbage can now.
Main tributary of the Sohnahanni. As was the case with the McLeod brothers, Jorgensen's head was never found. The charred remains of his log cabin were nearby. Were Jorgensen and the McLeod brothers all murdered for the gold that they had discovered? Another discovery, a World War I veteran named John O'Brien was found hunched over a pile of tinder with a matchbook in his hand in the winter of 1922 near Dead Men Valley. It was as if he had frozen to death trying to light a fire. In 1926, a woman named Annie Lafferty went missing. In the valley near Flat River, she got separated from her hunting party and got lost in the wilderness and disappeared. Several months later, an indigenous man reported seeing the woman climbing a hill while naked, seemingly out of her mind. In 1927, another body was...
So the native guy didn't help her. He just, this naked bitch out of her mind, was running through the forest. I didn't think to fucking help her. She seemed all right. She could have got through it.
Discovered in Nahanni, belonging to a man nicknamed Yukon Fisher. Known as an outlaw and a prospector, he was sought by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police for several years before he died. Quite close to where the McLeod brothers' bodies were found in 1908, his skeleton was found on the banks of Bennett Creek. The cause of his death has never been determined. One prospector, named Angus Hall, lost his way ahead of his party in 1928 and was never seen again. Then, in 1931, another body was found. This time it was that of Phil Powers. In the ashes of his cabin, his charred remains were found. His death was attributed to a faulty stovepipe by the RCMP, but many did not.
You made it all the way to the Nahanni Valley and you had a stove? How the fuck did you get a stove there? Because you had, not only did you have a stove, but you had a stove pipe. How did you get it there?
Accept this theory. Most believe he was likely murdered and his cabin set on fire. There are so many others that simply disappeared without a trace. Bill Epier and John Mulholland, another pair of prospectors, disappeared in 1936. Many years were spent searching for them, but they were never found. All that was found was the burned-out remains of their cabin.
I mean, they could have just died in the fire, right?
Frank Henderson discovered gold in the Nahanni Valley in 1946 and returned safely.
That guy looks like Odin. Odin and Merc. That's Odin, Merc, and Dubs prospecting back in the fucking day.
...with 30 ounces of the precious metal. But his colleague, John Patterson, vanished from the area not long after. When he failed to meet Frank at Virginia Falls in June 1946, he was reported missing. Frank Henderson is quoted as saying, "There is absolutely no denying the sinister atmosphere of that whole valley. That weird, continual wailing of the wind is something I won't soon forget." One of the latest strange disappearances happened in 2005 when David Horsey and Frederick Hardesty went to stay in a friend's cabin near the North Nahanni River on June 12, 2005. 4 days later, the friend returned to find the men had vanished. The same day, they were reported missing and RCMP started a search that ended about a week later. The men, for some reason, left the cabin without any firearms and the firearms were still in the cabin and there was plenty of food.
What kind of cabins you guys building out there? How are you getting windows and planed wood? And like, I'm starting to wonder about this.
The RCMP at the time said they saw no foul play at the cabin, but it was later stated that firearms were discharged inside the cabin. There were bullet holes all over the place. On June 27, 2005, David's body was found in thick forest about 2.3 miles away from the cabin. A member of the search team said,
"Oh yeah, I gotta go. Oily film? Dude, this would be an awesome fucking trip. I'm going to bring Lysak with me." Let's see. Bring Lysak so he can protect me from fucking Bigfoot.
Ed David had burns on his hands and arms. The area was searched several times before the body was found. Then, on July 8, 2005, a search team found the body of Fred floating in the North Nahanni River about 12.5 miles away from the cabin. It was an area searchers had already covered several times. This case still remains unsolved. In winter, the Nahanni Valley can be very inhospitable. With the freezing cold, it can claim the lives of the most experienced outdoorsmen. But in the warmer months, this valley transforms into what some people call almost tropical, with lush vegetation.
Fuck yeah.
Hot springs run throughout the valley, adding to its mystery. Like
Sun Blood Mountain. That's what you're calling this shit? I hope I'm not boring you guys. This isn't going to get any better. Yeah, this is what I'm doing, and then I'm going to stop the stream after this, but this is where I want to go. I don't know what's calling me. It must be Bigfoot calling me telepathically, telling me to go there.
Creating thick...
He wants to tear off my head.
Mysterious mist. This sparked legends of a mystical tropical valley hidden somewhere in the Nahanni. There are legends of prehistoric animals, mostly bones of mastodons and ancient bear dogs. Many say these animals still inhabit the deepest and most remote parts of the...
Right? Mastodons and saber-toothed tigers? Really? And you guys want to stop me from going there? Come on.
Nahanni. Some...
You're right. Sorry, not Bigfoot. Big feet.
Also say the valley is home to a wolf-like creature known as the Wahila. The mysterious creature is believed by some to be an ancient carnivorous mammal known as the bear dog, which is believed to have gone extinct about 8 million years ago. Others claim that the physical description of Wahila is closer to that of the dire wolf, a prehistoric relative of the modern timber wolf. The valley is also a hotspot for sightings of strange moving lights and UFOs. The indigenous Diné have avoided the valley for centuries, claiming that it is haunted by evil. Others claim that the valley is the entrance to the so-called Hollow Earth, dotted with caves and subterranean caverns that are mostly unexplored. A discovery in an ice cave known as Grot Valery found the ancient skeletons of roughly 100 doll sheep. It is thought they somehow got trapped and starved around 2500 BC. The details of all these stories possibly get exaggerated over the years, and as time goes by, it becomes more difficult to determine what is fact or fiction. The stories of lost gold, headhunters, and creatures in the forest might just be myth, but we do know that up to 44 people have either died or disappeared within the valley starting in 1908.
44.
Strange disappearances and deaths are also too common in other national parks and wilderness areas around the world. So what is really going on in the Nahanni Valley? Was it the territorial Naha tribe who have claimed all those lives protecting their land? Feuding prospectors trying to protect their claims and fortunes? The harsh and inhospitable remote wilderness? Or possibly there is some truth in the existence of something more supernatural? Mystery remains.
I have to go there. It's calling me. I want to go to the Nahanni Valley. And I get it. They probably knew about Jeets way back then. That's why they started making fucking stories about headless men. They don't want people there. And if I go there and fucking settle, then I will send back stories that there's headless men here and that Jeets shouldn't go there as well. So, yeah. Right? The bear dog. The bear dog sounds fucking cool as shit. I'll have to bring the biggest gun I can find. Zio Bubba, you're already packed up, right, dude? Let's fucking go. That's what real explorers, that's the Canadian spirit coming through me saying we need to go explore. We have to find these headless bodies. And how cool would it be to get a baby bear dog, right? Raise a bear dog to be your fucking Aussie's friend. Anyways, everybody, what are we at now? 2 hours and 56 minutes of me just fucking yipping. So thanks everybody for joining me tonight. I hope I didn't bore y'all, but I felt the need to come on and stream tonight. So, yeah, Intrusive Thought says, I can bring the bear dog. Caucasian Ovcharka? Yeah, those are big dogs. That's pretty much a bear dog. You're right. But thanks, everybody. We'll see you fucking Sunday, I guess. Maybe I'll do another stream this week. I'm not quite sure when. But if I can get to the Nahanni Valley with my Starlink, we'll try it out. We'll do a stream. And you guys can watch me lose my head. How cool would that be? Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later on this week, if not Sunday. And cheers, everyone. We out. No, we're not out yet. We need to play that song on our way out because it was damn good. Was a damn good song. We gotta find it though. It's on that one. And you guys can enjoy that. So peace out, everybody. Enjoy the song as much as I do. And yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Take what I want, even on you, Sarge, cause I'm a Fuhrer. Holding an Austrian Czechoslovakian, yeah, I want him. Blitz and the Creeps and in the Creeps Marine, place I surrendered. Getting through your head what the Fuhrer said, not bloody lenders. Can't you say I sold you South Sea Isle? Blood soil. Did you believe I told you so? That is the truth, now you know. If love pursues, if you can't keep the pace without life's a race, that's not my problem.
Don't it mean that never scroll? Wait, we're outnumbered. The other way, I'll die inside a fucking bunker. Hate to say I told you so, see high up. Blood and soil. Do you believe I told you so?
Long sit down for a race in Barbarossa. Just like Napoleon, I shouldn't have gone into Russia. Only care about Harry and don't give a shit about the others. If they all go wrong, we can go to wipe and see our guns. I'll thank you once and thank you twice. I'll say out in my name, you know you wanna. What you talking about, man? I just said grab some free for this is awkward. Say ah! Say ah!